Just to let you know where we're at in the process of the deacon nomination or the deacon election is that all the names that you've given us, the deacons divided those names among themselves. Each one went out and inquired to the people as to whether they're willing or to serve, and we have come back with a couple of names. And on your way out, I'd like for you to take, if you're a member of our church, I'd like for you to take this, and there's a list of two people in here that I'd like for you to bring back next week. Drop that off so that we can finalize the deacon election process. Those who have accepted the prospect of becoming a deacon, we sat down with them Thursday evening, and we talked to them extensively. We grilled them unbelievably. We held them underneath the light in the rubber hose, and we got them to say exactly what we wanted them to hear, But anyhow, Jim, would you take these, and at the end of the service, give them to a couple of deacons, meet them at the back of the door so that they can be handed out on the way out? By the way, Toby did a wonderful job. I did not spring that on him. I actually asked for his consent to read that particular passage ahead of time, so he had adequate time to do that. I am not very good with names, but I wanted you to see something in those list of names. I know that when you read through the Old Testament, you have a tendency to hit that list of names, and you go Tom, Sue, Dick, Harry, Bill, George, whatever the case may be, in order to get through them. And Heather knows because she's over there smiling. It is an acknowledgement smile. But I didn't want you to just see that because they're written in there or to impress you with Toby's ability to read those names. He is correct that all Scripture is for correction, reproof, and training in righteousness, and it all means something. And what I wanted us to see is we're getting ready to go into this deacon nomination or this deacon ordination is that the Bible actually does say something about commending those who serve well in service to those they serve. If you go back and read 1 Chronicles chapter 25, 1 through 8, that is the purpose of that passage. And so there's two places that I want you to turn. One of my most favorite places over the past few years has been Romans chapter 16, but we're not going to go there, but that's going to be at the very end of the message. But if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in just a few moments, we'll go through 15 through 20, and then at the end of the message, we'll go to Romans chapter 16. But I want to show you a few passages. I'm not going to have you turn because I'm going to read those in rapid succession. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:1, and I want you to pay attention to Paul's commendation of those in service. And before I actually get into that, we have a tendency, and I know over many churches that I've been part of, is it's almost kind of taboo to put others before the church and say, hey, look, these guys are doing a good job. Oh, don't recognize me. I don't want to be recognized for what I do. Oh, no, don't do that. But the Scripture does it. And it also says, I commend to you. It also affirms that. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called by the will of God to be an apostle and our brother Sosthenes. Wants the First Corinthian church to know that Sosthenes is in service to them. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth with all the saints who are in Asia, of all of Achaia. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. 1 Thessalonians, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonica in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. 3 John, to the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. As the years lengthen, I become more reflective on what I believe about theology, not because I'm getting softer, but because I am getting washed by a whole lot more theology as I get older. I think more deeply about those whom I serve. I think about those who I care for deeply and have gone on to be with the Lord. I do that here in the church probably more so than the other church because after being here for going on 12 years, believe it or not, this coming July, you are more family than any other church has ever been to me in my entire life. I see you as family. And as I'm thinking about commending people, it brings me back to Dot Winter. And Dot Winter has just gone. She was about 16 months now. Dot's passed away. It was last September. And one of the things that I wanted to do when we changed treasurers about 5 years ago, with the change of the treasury, something new took place. And with the new treasurer, things were more automated than they had been in the past. And with that came the contribution statements, which Dot was the financial secretary of it. And it was really difficult for me to go and sit with her and say, Dot, I know that you've been being the financial secretary for this church for, you know, since we started with folding money. I mean, that's how long that she served in that capacity. And so can you imagine asking somebody to have to step down from that role? But equally, it would have been just as hard to say, hey, Dot, you know, they're doing that on computer. How about you take a couple computer classes at 90 years of age and learn how to do it? I just couldn't do it. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted Dot to come forward as a public acknowledgement for the service that she had done for the church for decades. Now, how many of y'all know that Dot does not like to get in front of anybody? She did not. When we had the Christmas Eve service where you had to come up and serve yourself for the Lord's Supper, she didn't even want to do that, because she didn't want to be in front of people. And so she never did get properly, publicly acknowledged for her selfless service for the church for all these years. And I think some of that stems from a particular passage in Matthew 6 where it basically tells you not to practice your righteousness before men. So we're going to look at that in just a few more moments. She was a very faithful woman, and she should have been recognized as such. So why do I bring this up? It's probably the question with regards to recognition. We have four different types of personalities. We have the publicly bashful, which is Dot, except if you had a birthday party at her house and she was no longer bashful at her own home. That was kind of where Queen Dot sat. Good in that venue. And you have extremely humble, like Neil, like Toby, like Jim, like Randy. I don't fit quite that category. I'm working on it. And then you have those who I don't care. I don't care whether you acknowledge me or not. It's just it isn't that they don't care about things. They just don't care about public recognition. And then you have the glory hounds, kind of like Simon the sorcerer, who saw that the apostles had the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they wanted it so bad so that they could impress people that they were willing to buy it with money. And so you got these four different personalities, but there is a proper way to do it, and there's a biblical way to do it. And it ought to be done in spite of it being done poorly in most churches. Some churches are great at public acknowledgement and some aren't. Some fear that if I'm going to publicly acknowledge somebody, I'm going to let somebody out, so we just won't do it at all. I don't think that that's a good reason to leave it out. And I think that we're not good at it, but I don't think that we're bad at it. I think that we're kind of middle of the road at it, but I think that we can be better at it, and I think that there'll be some benefit if we're actually better at it, and I'm going to use this to talk about the deacon body a little bit. Now, let's read our particular passage found over in 1 Corinthians 16, starting in verses 15 and concluding down to 20. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas was the first convert in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as those, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunius and Achaeus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men, The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Multiple places in scriptures, they commend you. They commend people to the church because they want you to see the service that some of these saints have, the selfless service that the saints have in recognition to their service to the Lord. Now, here's reasons to publicly acknowledge people. Number one, it's biblical. It's biblical. Second, it's an affirmation. It's an affirmation that we recognize those who have been called are actually filling the position that God has called them to. So it's a affirmation. Third, it's an encouragement for the one performing the duty. When you recognize somebody that they've been called, it gives them a sense of encouragement that you're doing a good job, that you're doing what you're supposed to do. And it's also an encouragement for the congregation when they see somebody else doing that, they say that I can do that too. And fourthly, it recognizes that King Jesus is using people for the glorified purposes for which he has gifted them for. So there are good reasons in order to recognize people for the service of the church. But the Bible only gives one area that many churches feel as though is the stop gate or the only reason or the reason to prohibit recognizing people publicly, and that's found in Matthew 6:1. And if you want to turn there, you can go ahead and turn there. I'm going to read a couple of passages. But I really believe that this passage that's used by many churches in order to not publicly recognize people is a misunderstanding of that particular passage. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read down through verse 4. Jesus is warning people about practicing their righteousness so that they would be seen by men. There's a huge difference between doing something so that other people will recognize you and doing something for the Lord and then being recognized that they are doing it for the Lord. Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that you may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's kind of almost saying that if the church doesn't recognize me, then I'm going to get my reward, but if the church recognizes me, then I don't get it. Well, they don't get it, because that's not what this particular passage is talking about. It's talking about practicing your righteousness so that other people will esteem you for the things that you're doing. Doesn't matter whether the church acknowledges it or not. If that's your purpose of serving God or serving the church, you get what you get, and it ain't much. What we're all looking for is that statement when we finally breathe our last and go from this place to the next, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking for. And one of the ways to do that is to be encouraged by saying, hey, Maggie, you're doing a great job. Right? Encourages us. I know it encourages me. And it's also humbling. So again, what prompted me on this journey? Our deacon nomination and our deacon ministry. And probably me thinking that our deacon ministry isn't what it should be. And it's not an indictment on the deacons. It's an indictment on your pastor, because the pastor is the leader of the church. And if he's not led them to a place where that they are more productive, not productive is the word, but more productive. And it's this particular passage as we're going through in 1 Timothy 3:13 that hit me. Because we have some very good, humble deacons in our congregation. We really do. I have sat with them in times that were difficult, and I have called upon them for counsel. Their service is selfless. They are honorable men. They know how to keep things quiet. You know, when we have a meeting, I say what gets said in this meeting stays in this meeting, and you don't share it with your wife, you don't share it with anybody. And I don't have no fear whatsoever that they're going to do exactly what I've asked them to do, because the church has recognized these as faithful men, and they are the ones that they want instilled in the congregation. But it's this one particular verse that kept coming back to me over and over as I'm reading the characteristics and the qualifications for deacons. In 1 Timothy 3:13, it says, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing." For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing. They are serving well, but they're not gaining a good standing, and it's detrimental not only to them, but it's detrimental to the church body as a whole. And the reason being is we're not utilizing them as much as we possibly should. It says, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in faith that is in Christ Jesus." They gain a great standing for themselves. Your dad was a deacon, right, Sandy? You saw your dad go out and serve people faithfully all the time. Probably some of my best mentors were deacons, and it wasn't because they came alongside of me and taught. It's because of what I've seen them do in the community, and the church utilized them more. And just in their execution of being utilized, doing things, they gained a good standing so that you knew that they were not deacons in title, but they were deacons in doing the very things that they were doing. So that when they're utilized properly, they will have a good standing with the church for themselves because of their service to the Lord. They will be bolstered, and their confidence in Christian ministry will be validated. When we were sitting around talking around the table, they were talking about the things that we used to do as a deacon body and how encouraging that was for them and how much it meant to be able to actually go out and help people. So if they're bolstered and their confidence in Christian ministry is validated, there's two things. I mean, this does two things. It causes them to personally, spiritually grow. And not only does it cause them to grow, it causes us to grow. You know that? It really does. When they grow in Christian ministry and we recognize that and they gain a good standing, our church, our congregation grows because we recognize that we have men installed that are godly men trying to do the best that they can for the congregation. This is an encouragement to the body as a whole. Over the past 10 years, we've had 4 deacons in our church: Arnold, Neil, Toby, and Jim. And if the Lord leads, we will have 2 more deacons next Sunday. And Neil's going to step down, not away from being deacon, but he's rotating off. And he's been chairman of the deacons the past couple of years. And he's how many years in a row have you served? He needs to be put out to pasture for a while. We put Arnold out for pasture. We're going to set him out for another year. But these men have served faithfully for a long time and not once have ever come to me and said, you know something, Pastor? I'm tired. I want to step down. Because the joy is serving other people. And so hopefully we'll have two more come on. Brother Jim will be chairman of the deacons. We do what's called a Deacon of the Week ministry. And when you look at the bulletin, you'll see on there Deacon of the Week. And the Deacon of the Week is not a title that they've asked to be put on there. This is something that I've asked Cindy to do years ago, put on there Deacon of the Week, so that when you're struggling or whatever the case may be, whether it's financial, physical, spiritual, or whatever, they help share the pastor's load. You can call them and say, hey, you know something? I just want to talk to somebody for a few moments. I remember when, I think it might have been the first week, might have been the second week that I got here, that I got a telephone call from Linda Towton. She was struggling emotionally, spiritually, and she says, you know, I really would like for you and Jim was the deacon at the time. I'd really love for you guys to come down here and talk with me this evening. And it always encourages us when we've performed the duty as a deacon or a pastor, and it always encourages the person that we leave. And I know that this congregation is not immune to struggles. And so if we want to grow as a congregation, allow the deacons to do what they're supposed to do. Call them. You will have great assurance that whatever you share with them will be in confidence. This is one of the areas I think that we don't do well. Here's how they help. They help me, meaning that they help us with the benevolence. We don't tell people, hey, look, you know, Jerry, well, let's not use Jerry because he's a real person here. We can't use Jim either. Tanya, we don't have no Tanyas here. Tanya calls and says, you know, hey, look, you know, Pastor, I just can't meet my electric bill this week. And so I don't know Tanya from a hole in the ground. I'm like, hey, guys, we got this woman who lives in such and such place, and I think one of you guys might know her. What do you think about helping her with her electric bill? Or medicine, or whatever the case may be. So they help with the benevolence. They assist with sensitive critical issues, which are private, and they remain private. It's kind of rare today in the social media world. They do phone calls once a week to our shut-ins. They call whoever happens to be shut in, or temporarily or permanent, and in order to so that they remain in contact with the church, so they don't feel as though that they're left to the side. We don't do well at taking proper advantage of these men who have been called by God to serve this congregation. And when we don't do that, three things happen. We hinder their spiritual growth, and they don't receive the standing that 1 Timothy 3:13 talks about. We, the church, doesn't benefit from the resource that God has given us, and we fail to acknowledge the structure of the church as Jesus has called for it to be. All three of these things stymie the congregation. We need to break this inertia. We really need to break this inertia so that we can spiritually move forward, so that we can operate under the structure of the church that Christ has called for us. This ministry that God has given us is meant to help us. And here's how. The number one role of the deacon is to provide or maintain unity of the church. Let's go back to Tanya, because the only name I can remember right now. Got a major personal problem with another person in the church, and it goes multiple different areas, and misunderstanding can be very easily done. Call for the deacons. Discuss the issue. Tell them that whatever you think, whatever you feel, let's talk about this. Let's get it out in the open so that we can understand and look for some things that might come down the road in order to be able to cut those off for the purpose of maintaining the unity of church. And if you have four men or five men in a room and they talk about that, now you get four or five people out in the congregation. When gossip starts, that they can say, you know what, I understand that you've heard this, but this isn't exactly what's going on. So there's a corrective measure to gossip. They don't get involved in it, but they just let you know that things aren't quite what they seem to be. And when you have five firefighters out in the middle of the congregation stopping Satan from allowing this to happen, it goes a long way. You don't even know it's going on. The second way that deacons help is they help with prayer. The third way is they help you figure out how to get your need met. Physically, your garage door is broken. You don't have the money in order to repair that. Call a deacon. The basic definition of deacon in the Bible is table servant. Their primary responsibility is to meet physical needs. Primary responsibility, not the only responsibility. Prayer, when you're struggling at work, struggling with your children, struggling with your spouse, struggling with yourself, it's always nice to have somebody to come sit down with you that doesn't know all of your business. They make hospital and home visitations, which is COVID, is kind of upended in the past. They also keep me in the loop about what's going on. They don't. If you go to Tanya and Tanya tells you, hey, Brother Jim, this is between you and I don't want you to share it with anybody. Brother Jim doesn't share it with me. Doesn't. Unless Brother Jim says, hey, do you want me to let the pastor know? And then he shares it with me. This is nice to know that you have people that you can talk to that keep things confident. God has not created us to struggle in this life alone. Jesus has personally and specifically organized his church in a way for us to help each other when we meet those trials. It's easy to see how when we take right advantage of the system that he has created, that there's a positive cyclical growth. The deacons, through their faithful service, get utilized. They gain a good stand in the congregation. Then the congregation gains greater confidence in the deacons that serve. In the first church that I served, there were zero deacons when I got there, and there were zero deacons after I left. And the one who was the mover and the shaker, you know, the people that influence things that have no position in the church whatsoever? He prided himself that we have no deacons and we're not going to have any deacons. I'm guessing, me being young, didn't ask him why, didn't want to stir anything up, but I suspect that he had a very bad experience with a deacon somewhere down the road. The pastor of the last church that I was at said that when he retires, which he did when I got there, he says he's going to get a dog and he's going to name it Deacon and he's going to kick it every day. Hey, there's just as many bad or worse pastors than there are deacons. Just because you have a bad experience with somebody does not mean that you give somebody a chance, especially the guys that we have in our congregation. Great men. I am proud to serve with the deacons that we have in this church. I'm proud for your selection of the people in the church. I'm also proud of the men who have been selected and said, you know what? Not now. Not ready. For whatever the reason may be. Here we have God called spiritually able men who meet the spiritual characteristics of 1 Timothy chapter 3. They are unutilized, which is to the detriment of our church. It is a hindrance to them, and it denounces the structure that Jesus has set in place. When you go through a blue period, call a deacon. All these pertain to me as well. I'm not trying to shirk my responsibility. When you're struggling, call a deacon. When you're angry at the church and you want to vent, call a deacon. Yeah, don't call me on that one. Just call the deacons. When doubt's starting to assail you, call a deacon. I talked to a pastor not long ago, and he says, the older I get, he says, the closer I get to death, the more I realize that I struggle with doubt more than I ever thought that I did. Call a deacon. When you don't have food or financial resources in order to pay the bills or do what you need to do or buy medication, call a deacon. When you're confused about what decisions to make and you want somebody to pray with you, call a deacon. When you are ill and you want prayer for your health, call a deacon. Hey, if you're happy, call a deacon. Let us help our church grow spiritually, numerically, and functionally by utilizing part of the structure that Jesus designed. It will bless your heart, your deacon's heart, and Jesus' heart to use deacons. Let us help our church grow. I do believe that we are at the precipice of church growth. I'm talking about spiritual growth. Numerical growth follows. I'm not talking about numerical growth. But I'm saying if Jesus has a structure that we ought to utilize it, if we're underutilizing it and we see the benefits of doing it, we need to start doing it. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 16. One of my favorite passages, and the reason it's one of my favorite passages is because the Apostle Paul, at the end of his letter to a church he's never even met, talks about all these people who serve the Lord, and he gives public acknowledgement for them. And he starts out with one in particular. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Century, that you may welcome her in the Lord by way of the saints to help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches and Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who worked hard. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles and were in Christ Jesus before me. Greet Ampelatus, my beloved of the Lord, and Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved somebody help me with that one. Stichus. Greet Apelles, who approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Astrobilus. Greet the kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those who work in the Lord Trophimus and Trophus. Greet the beloved Persis, and who worked hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also the mother who had been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philegus, Julia, Nereus, and the sister Olympus, and the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the church greet you. Here you got the Apostle Paul commending publicly these servants for the benefit of the church and the benefit of those served. This is why it's being done. This is why I want us to utilize the structure of the deacon body, because God has set it in place. We underutilize it. I believe it's to our spiritual detriment. This is what I want us to do. Brother Talon, would you play us a song?
Please stand if you're able.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Everything that you have done for us, everything that you're still doing, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your guidance, your wisdom, your love, and your mercy. We just can't thank you enough for always being there for us, Father. And as we go out to our work week this week, as we see friends and family and coworkers and anybody else we may see, even just a stranger, I pray, Father, that our light shines bright, our light that is your light shining through us. And that somehow, some way, maybe with a conversation or just one word, that they would know that you are there with them and that you are present, you love them, and maybe someone would come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. Again, we thank you for everything that you do, and we thank you for your Son, most of all, Jesus Christ, who came to save us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Our sending song will be Blessed Be the Tie, verse 1.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that.